So, it's local news and features. It's batch number 5. I am now joined by Cliff. It's Tim with you also. We have 4 news stories for you in batch 5 and got some headlines. So I'm going to do my headlines, which are tribute to absolute legend Tony the Tiger, who died after the Potter's Off, and UK ceramics industry crisis laid bare as firms pay £875 million a year in energy costs. And Cliff's headlines are...
Thanks, Tim. The first one is residents gobsmacked at how local plan will affect their area. And the second one is New Vic and Claybody Theatres come together for this Arnold Bennett comedy caper.
Okay, so I will kick off now with the first headline, which is tribute to absolute legend Tony the Tiger, who has died after the Potter's Off. Tributes have been paid to an absolute legend who died doing what he loved. Tony Knight was well known across Stoke-on-Trent for taking part in the Potteries Marathon and most recently the Potter's Off. But tragically, Tony, aged in his 70s, suffered a medical episode after finishing the Potter's Half on Sunday. Emergency services rushed to the scene in Hanley before taking him to the Royal Stoke University Hospital. He was sadly pronounced dead a short time later. Now Tony's son Matthew has told how his dad will be missed by everybody. Writing on the Potter's Half Marathon Facebook page, Matthew said, "This was my dad, Tony Knight. Some of you may have known him from many years of running and for the past few years walking across all of Stoke-on-Trent. He was an absolute legend and will be missed by everyone. He loved his exercise and loved taking part in what was the Potteries Marathon dressed as a tiger and the Potter's Half over the past few years. Thanks to all the efforts of the responders and emergency teams on the day, and to the Potter's Half director that rang me. It was very much appreciated. Me and my sister and some of the grandchildren as well will be there next year on the line to continue the annual run for the old man as known, aka our dad." A spokesperson for the event organiser, HS Sport, said a runner at Sunday's race fell ill after finishing the race and, despite the best efforts of medical staff, sadly passed away after being taken to the Royal Stoke University Hospital. "Our thoughts and heartfelt condolences are with their family, friends and loved ones at this incredibly difficult time. We ask that their privacy is respected as they grieve their loss." A Stoke-on-Trent City Council spokesperson added, "We're aware of the sad death of a participant in the Potter's Half. All our thoughts are with his family and loved ones and will offer whatever support we can. We would like to recognise the efforts of the event's first responders and the emergency services who responded swiftly to provide treatment." So over to Cliff, who's going to do his first story in batch 5.
Residents are calling for a rethink on plans to build more than 18,000 homes across Stoke-on-Trent over the next 15 years. Residents were gathered at Baddeley Green Working Men's Club to hear more about the plans and to give feedback. Stoke-on-Trent City Council are currently consulting on the draft local plan, which will see the development of 18,500 homes across the city. However, 5,000 of these are allocated to sites in Baddeley, Milton and Norton. Under the current plans, large areas of the Greenbelt could be built on, including greenfield land next to the Dalton Estate in Baddeley Green, which has been subject to a planning application for 138 homes since 2022. However, now residents are concerned that the plans will destroy the identity of the city. President of the club, Tony Whittingham, said, "Stoke-on-Trent has promoted that if you come out of a town centre within 10 minutes, you're in the countryside. That's what Stoke-on-Trent has always been known for. What they are planning here will totally destroy that. You might as well take the green out. You've got Baddeley Green, Norton Green, Ball Green. You might as well take it out and call it brown, because that's what you're doing, turning them into houses." Resident Patricia Fallows commented, "We all know the ones there are pencilled and not necessarily going to be built on, but I think it's a bit gobsmacking just how much it's going to affect this area. I just look at it as Stoke-on-Trent as a whole is like a tree that's gone rotten at its core. Every single one of the six towns is gone. Six areas of the tree, of that tree are dying off, and they are coming out beyond that and spoiling that instead. Around here there is one bus an hour, so people will use a car instead. A number of residents said a number of issues already exist in the villages which need addressing before houses are constructed. The big issue for residents include flooding, which residents claim could be made worse under the current plans. Michael Fox added, "What I don't think people understand is how bad this area gets with flooding. Before they do anything, they need to sort that out, because I can imagine with a few thousand more houses in the area, it will only get worse. And that's before you start with the road, the doctors, the other infrastructure that's needed around here. It will change the area for the worst. I think they should rethink the plans." And the consultation on this draft local plan is due to run until the 20th of October. It's a dodgy problem, isn't it, Tim? It's there's families crying out for new houses so that their children and grandchildren can have a house and be able to get one. And it's a generational thing, I think, that hopefully we can get a good solution.
It's a catch-22 situation, isn't it? And always not the best for everybody. Okay, so the next story for me now is UK ceramics industry crisis laid bare as firms pay £875 million, which is a bit hard to believe, a year in energy costs, but that's the way things are. Pottery firms are forking out a whopping £875 million a year in UK energy costs. That compares with a £330 million energy bill across the UK ceramic sector in 2020. The Nottingham Trent University analysis also suggested, in compared to Stoke-on-Trent, that UK ceramics firms spend 70% of turnover on energy costs and 14% on government and regulatory levies, but ceramic firms in China and America are benefiting from energy bills still at 2020 levels. University analysts looked at one Stoke-on-Trent firm with a turnover of around 630 100,000 and 49 staff. It is this year showing out £443,000 a year on energy costs. Now the GMB union is raising the disparity at the Labour Party conference and calling for greater support for manufacturers and lower energy prices. It comes as troubled pottery giant Wedgwood closed its Barlaston factory until 2026. Ceramic worker Sharon Yates told everybody that I am a proud pottery worker, just like my dad before me. The most highly skilled potters make ceramics in my town and we export them around the globe. But the industry we rely on is dying. Spiraling energy prices, especially gas, mean that the UK ceramic firms fork out £875 million in energy costs every year. That's right, almost £1 billion just on energy. All while counterfeit products from China have flooded the market, driving down demand for the goods we make. The results are devastating. The government has helped our industry with electricity costs, but we rely on gas. If we do not help industries like ceramic with energy costs now and invest in their cleaner future, we will keep losing decent, unionised jobs. And when those jobs go, our communities go with them. So over to Cliff, who's going to do the final story for us in Batch 5.
Yeah, this is about the new Vic and Claybody Theatre, a play which is sadly just finished at the new Vic, but it was a very good story and there is a possibility it may come back again. But the story is that Arnold Bennett is one of Stoke-on-Trent's most celebrated sons, a prolific author and journalist. His literary collection includes 34 novels, 13 plays and 7 volumes of short stories. He's known for writing about the potteries, but the latest incarnation of his work is an adaptation of a novel set in a world far away from pikelets and potbanks. The Grand Babylon Hotel, published in 1902, is a madcap caper centred around a Grand London hotel. The location is heavily inspired by the Savoy, which became a second home to Bennett during his time in the capital. Bit of a change from Burslem, wasn't it, at that time? The novel has been adapted for the stage by Deborah MacAndrew in a collaboration between the New Vic Theatre and the Claybody Theatre. And it follows hotel guests Theodore Wraxall, an American millionaire, and his daughter Nella. After finding Nella's chosen birthday dinner isn't on the menu, Theodore impulsively decides to buy the entire hotel. However, the purchase turns into a mystery when they notice some strange goings on and realise the hotel and its staff are not quite what they seem. So the creative team, led by director Conrad Nelson, transports the audience from grand spaces and secret passages of a luxury hotel to a criminal hideaway in Ostend and even onto the high seas. It's all achieved with clever use of sound, lighting, music, and carefully selected scenery and props. The action never ceases to flow, and though it feels free and chaotic, it must require some serious choreography to perfect. One of the things I love about the Theatre in the Round is being able to see the reactions of fellow audience members, and this show got a rapturous response. The Grand Babylon Hotel is a classic comedy caper performed by a hugely talented cast. Fast-paced, glamorous and full of intrigue, it's a thoroughly entertaining show that will leave you smiling from ear to ear.